Hello?
Hello, Jeff.
Who is this?
What's your favorite scary movie?
I really like the cartoon Encanto.
Wait, Encanto? That's not a scary movie, that's on Disney Plus.
It's really cute, though.
What about the Scream movies?
They really kind of suck.
That's not why I called. We're going to play a little game.
What kind of game?
What door am I at?
What's up, fellow travelers? Welcome to Traversing the Stars. I'm JD Ross. With me is Jeff Haas. We are coming at you from the mothership. Jeff, it looks like you safely escaped a nefarious situation there. So today we are talking about Scream. Obviously, we got the new one coming up. So at some point, I would like to do a full episode just on like the Scream series themselves. But we're going to be kind of what I'd like to do. I kind of like to maybe just like talk a little bit about the series a little bit, and then maybe lay out some predictions we have for Scream 5 coming out next week.
Okay, sounds perfect.
Yes. Let's do it. Yeah, absolutely. So Scream, it's kind of an interesting series. I mean, I would say for the 90s, it kind of, I don't know if I want to say resurrected the slasher series.
I would say it did resurrect it and then transformed it into its own subgenre of horror movies.
Yeah. You had a bunch before, but you didn't have as much in the 80s.
Right. And then, like I said, once it came out, then you had, I know you did last summer, Jeepers Creepers. I mean, they copied it over and over again. It became its own like subgenre of self-aware horror movies.
Absolutely. I mean, even down to the box covers. Did you notice Scream was the first one to do that one where it had like the cast on the screen, they just kind of looking.
I didn't notice that at all.
If you look at movie covers, okay, so I Know What You Did Last Summer, Urban Legend, The Faculty, all the ones that came after Scream, and I'm throwing The Faculty in there. That's more of a sci-fi one, but still, it copied that same formula where it had like the cast just dramatically on the cover. Who is it? It could be anyone.
Yeah. Well, I think they were the first one I can think of that did the mystery killer. And then that got copied many times. The mystery twist at the end.
That's true. Yeah. The whodunit. Like they brought whodunit to the slasher, because before, okay, so you had Michael Myers, but everybody knew it was Michael Myers. Evil has come to town, like, you know, Freddy Krueger, he's in your dreams, Jason Voorhees, we know, you know about all that, but like this was I think the first one that kind of centered on like who's doing this.
Yeah and it did so well. It held up. I mean, it became like the franchise theme, the whodunit theme became like the franchise mainstay.
Yeah. Cause like Urban Legend, you're waiting to see which one of like the friend group is the killer. They're constantly throwing shade at like, it could be this guy, it could be that guy. The same thing. I mean, like it was the entire time. It could be Billy. It could be Randy. Could be fucking anybody.
And the fact they had two killers was also something that we've never seen before. The idea that it's not one slasher, it was two. That's why you could see
for the price of one.
Right. And it worked. It worked really, really well. Yeah. And I'm going to guess this, though I may be wrong, because my horror knowledge is not good as good as Randy's, obviously.
I think I'm the Randy of this one.
Yes.
Of this podcast.
I'd wager you are. Scream 4 might be the first horror movie I can think of that used age-appropriate actors as high schoolers.
I think you might be right, because I mean it was definitely always an 18 and up thing. I mean, like, look at like Slumber Party Massacre. Like basically one of the, there was no way they were high school kids. They all legally had to be 18, because one of the prerequisites of that fucking movie was every female had to get naked in it, which, you know, I've talked about this on Going Hollywood before. That's one of the blueprints of a good B movie, which is what's, I think, one of the things that actually separates Scream from B movie status is it doesn't follow the tits and ass.
There's no nudity in the entire franchise.
The entire franchise. Thus far. We don't know about next week. But they're probably going to stick with.
And Scream 1, Nev Campbell was definitely not in high school. Drew Barrymore was not in high school. The guy who played Randy was not in high school. Scream 4, the kids, I think, were actually closer to high school age.
Yeah. Wasn't one of the Culkins in that, though, too?
One of the Culkins is in Scream 4. Yes. They brought in the Culkin family. And he... Well, spoiler, was one of the killers.
I mean, yeah, I mean, at this point, that one came out in what, 2010? Like, if you don't want to, if you didn't know that by now, you didn't want to. So yeah. You're probably not even listening to this episode.
This is a spoiler heavy show, guys. So if you haven't seen the movies, you're probably not listening to us anyway.
That's true. Yeah. This one, we will give spoiler warnings whenever newer movies, if we're doing that. But like, this series, it's old enough. I feel like we can just openly talk about who the killers were, different things like that. Now, I think one of the things that really separated the first one, I feel like I'm going to be talking about the first three a little bit more. The fourth one wasn't my favorite, I had some weird issue with it when it came out, and I don't think I ever really gave it a second chance. So I need to actually do that before I see five.
Okay.
But one of the things that worked for it is like, Drew Barrymore was listed to be in the cast, and then she's killed in the first scene.
Yes.
And that was like America's sweetheart. They were like, no, you can't do that. You can't. Drew.
Well, like I said, it was shocking. You assumed she was one of the main characters. So you're like, holy crap. And then we know the second one, they killed Randy. You're like, holy crap.
Well, and that'll actually bring me a little bit to, I wanted to kind of go over a couple of the really significant kills. Sure. Obviously Drew Barrymore, that opened it. Like, it could be anybody. Like, Neve Campbell is just as sweet as Drew Barrymore. She could die at any time. We have no idea.
Right.
Randy was the exact same way. Nobody expected Randy to die, 'cause everyone loved Randy. I do love how they brought Randy back in three though.
Oh yeah. It was a nice little introduction, bring him back with the tape. It was nice.
Yeah.
It was
nice. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that a lot. So who was your favorite killer from the series?
Well, once again, I know you don't mention four, but
Jill was good. Crazy. Jill was good. I will admit, I'm familiar enough that, Jill was pretty insane.
It's either Jill or Billy Loomis.
Okay. I gotta say, I'm between Stu. And by the way, if you're watching on YouTube, you can see I'm wearing my Stu shirt. My mom and dad are gonna be so mad at me. Everybody listening just on the audio, you don't get to see it, so tune into the YouTube. I'm between Stu and Mickey.
Mm. All right.
I really enjoyed Timothy Oliphant's level of crazy.
Mm.
And even his motive was like kind of excessively crazy, but it was also fresh.
I will say that Billy Loomis was hurt a little bit by the third movie and the director.
That's true. But that was one of the rules, and Randy even outlined that one of the rules of the third one is they have to go back and they have to change something that was already set. They have to and he even mentioned, like, what is it, Jedi, Godfather, all those did that, where they go back and something that wasn't true, but like that was true the whole time, is revealed.
Yeah.
I didn't hate that angle. I know a lot of people took a lot of issues with it, but
see, the problem I always had with Scream 3 is that it got spoiled for me on the internet before I got to see it. So it never had the excitement that it was supposed to have.
That's a bummer.
Yeah. Scream franchise is one of those movies, sort of like Spider-Man, No Way Home, sort of like Sixth Sense, that needed to be unspoilable for it to be truly entertaining.
I'll give you that. Especially because I did finally get to see Spider-Man. Look for an episode on that at some point soon. I did get to see that, and I know exactly what you're talking about, and I'm pretty interested to see. We'll talk about that in another episode.
Indeed. But so I would say Billy was a great killer, Jill was a great killer. The fact that they had the lady from Roseanne as a killer was pretty fucked up too. I can't remember how her name was.
Debbie Salt in the movie, or Debbie Loomis.
Yes.
I guess.
Yeah.
Metcalf. Laurie Metcalf.
I forgot her name, but the fact she was the killer was another one. I was like, really? I didn't.
Yeah.
For some reason, the female killer angle did not click in, even though first Friday the 13th had the mother of Jason. It made sense. But once again, a little bit of, maybe it's, the male toxic masculinity thing. I was like, hey, wouldn't it be a female?
Actually, no. There is one reason why you didn't think of that. There's a psychological reason. Even if you don't pick up on it, there's one line in the movie that keeps you thinking on the track that it's going to be a white dude. And that's when Dewey and Randy are discussing who it could be. And Dewey goes, serial killers are typically white males. And that line right there, whether you realize it or not, plants in your head the first time you're watching it that no, it's not going to be It couldn't be. It wouldn't be Holly. It wouldn't be her best friend. It wouldn't be. It wouldn't be Gale, even though they're saying it could be. It's going to be some white dude. And then the reveal, and you're like, oh shit! And you don't even realize that happened.
Yeah, they did a great job with that. I mean, they do a great job of putting you off the scent.
Yes.
You know, it like the second movie, for some reason, I think the one that I thought it was going to be was Cotton Wary. I was like, it's Cotton Wary. He's the fucking killer.
I feel like people wanted him to be the killer.
That's why I think they killed him off. They had to kill him off in the third one. I was like, I think they were just like, he needs to be taken off the board.
Yeah. Well, and that was another big one, because his plot with the background story with the mom was really interesting, because, like, you know, he was a really big character that kind of was involved in kicking off the whole thing. So even at the reveal at the end of three, you know, when it's like, I set it all up. I'm the mastermind. He was still involved the whole time. So it was another big character. It was another, anybody could bite it at any time.
Right. And I think, I'm a fan. I don't know about you, but part of me was thinking, no matter how much they introduced that kind of where he was innocent, he was in jail for no reason. Part of me was thinking, he must have done something. He must be somewhere involved.
Especially the way he was acting when he cornered Sydney in the library.
Yeah. I think even as a viewer, it was hard to accept that someone was jailed for no reason.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we're like, no.
Yeah.
Especially because it was on Sydney who did it. You're like, Sydney would never make that kind of mistake. They wouldn't allow the main character to have fucked up in that way.
Right.
Cotton Wary must have deserved it somehow.
Right. And you know what? That's another thing that they kind of like flipped the script on, because, you know, like, but when it was like the 70s and 80s, I mean, it was like the babysitter, like they're just like they're just teenagers. Yeah, they're having fun. They're fucking around. They're doing drugs and they're drinking, but they're kids. There's no real flaw there. That's just part of being a teenager. So like, yes, like these are kind of pure entities, so to speak. And then you've got these that have all these flaws, and you know, they're real people, much more realistic. I think that's another reason that the series is, you know, really resonate with people.
I totally agree. I mean, they subverted a lot of what you knew as a viewer to be true.
Yeah.
It did it in a clever way, and then cleverly built upon it in the later movies.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I mean, Scream 3, which was my least favorite of them all, it still worked, you know.
Yeah.
It still worked. And the amount of actors in these movies that became well known.
Oh yeah.
Is immense. I mean, a lot of them became just everyday known faces.
Yeah, absolutely. It launched a lot of careers. One thing I got to say about Scream 3, I know it's like most people's least favorite. I have to admit there is one special thing, like one for me anyway. There, it does have a special place for me, because I saw it in the movies with one of my oldest friends, Nate. Nate, love you. We saw it together, and I can't think of that movie without thinking of the scene where the mom shows up randomly in the window in Sydney's dream, and she pops up. Because me and Nate, when we get together, we tend to be loud. We tend to, you know, so we're expecting when we see that there's going to be a bunch of noise, but it was silence except for like a one piano strike or something. And then there's me and him just like, in the theater, just like irritating everybody. So me and Nate often talk about that. That's just like every time I think of Scream 3, I think of my buddy Nate, one of my oldest friends. So,
Shout out to friend Nate.
That's right. I'm being sweet over here. Well, back to murder.
Well, I think one thing that got me on Scream 3 was the voice changer. I did not buy it. I did not accept that.
Really? You didn't like the one where he had all the voices?
Yeah, because to make it sound that real of a lot of those people, I was like, I don't think we have any. Do we even have technology that's good that you can create a voice that is identical to the actual speaker?
I think that'd be tough.
Because humans, you can always hear the metallic hum of a fake voice.
Yeah.
So I was like, that wouldn't bother me. I was like, sorry. You can't make up new inventions for your show.
One thing I will give him, though, is he was a major Hollywood director. So he may have had access. I'm stretching, but like he may have had access to some kind of like, you know, more advanced kind of technology that was specifically made for that kind of shit. Who knows? But like, yeah, it was a little hokey. That wasn't the best. Like, I think they could have gotten away with him just talking in the, what's your favorite scary movie?
I love that voice. If I could do that voice, I'd do it all day. I'd teach my classes with that fucking voice.
I would podcast in that voice.
Exactly. I'd be like, what do you think about the character in Animal Farm? And I'd be like, what the, why is he doing that?
I just love the idea of Ghostface teaching Animal Farm.
Don't you think it's sad that they killed Boxer?
It's an allegory. Yeah. That's going to be a meme.
I would use that voice was one of the coolest things they came up with, was that voice.
Oh, 100%. It was used very well. I loved, yes. Like, because again, it does the whole factor of like, it could be anybody. Like, it's, yes, like she is completely covered in head to toe. Can't see anything. The only thing you know is like, they're about as tall as you and they're using a voice.
Yeah. Now, here's a question that you would know as our resident Randy. Was there, other than the exact moment of the reveal,
uh-huh,
were at any moment the actors in costume who were supposed to be the killers, or were they always a stunt person?
Okay, so like I can in the first two especially, I can tell you who killed who.
I mean, but were the actors ever actually in the costume doing the killing? So you would, so make it so you'd see the exact size and body form and know it was the same guy, or was it always a fake because it was always a
body? I would bet it was a fake because always stunt double. Yeah, because I think Matthew Lillard's a little bit taller than Skeet Ulrich.
Yeah.
So it would have, but again,
Was there ever a taller guy doing the killing? That, like, if you watch him again, could you tell there's ever a size difference?
Well, if you look at, okay, so like Drew Barrymore, what would you say her height is?
Oh, usually,
you know what? We're going to do this. We're doing this on air scientifically. Drew Barrymore height. All right, so she's 5'4". Okay, so then let's look at Henry Winkler.
Shorter than I would think. Henry Winkler's small. He's like 5'6", 5'7", right?
Oh, okay. For some reason, I thought he was tall. So he's 5'6". Nah. Okay, so actually that one doesn't quite check out. I don't know. It's a mystery. I was hoping he was really tall.
I want to go back and now see if you can see a major size between the two different killers as they each one was killing different people.
That's true.
Stu and Billy.
Yeah.
I wonder if there is, or it's always a stunt double, which is kind of unfair, but be kind of interesting.
True. So Billy did most of the killing. I know he killed Drew Barrymore or Casey. Let's see. Who died next? Who died after Casey?
Oh, shit. Was Henry Winkler? Wasn't he the second death?
He might have been the second death. So that was Stu.
Because there wasn't that many people who died until that one big scene.
Yeah, that's true. So okay. So Billy did the first two. Stu, I believe Stu did
his girlfriend?
He definitely did Tatum. No, that was Billy. That was Billy.
Because
Stu was at the party. I'm pretty sure the principal was Stu. Actually, yeah, I think Billy did the most of it.
All right, and so I'm curious. I'm curious if there's a height difference. Someone out in the world who's listens to this, find out if they ever put, ever considered the height differences of the actors who are the killers, or was it a complete cheat?
Yeah, let us know. traversingthestars@gmail.com.
Yes.
All right. So let's think about where the future could go. So I know Sydney is not going to be, this is the first one not directed by Wes Craven, which is very sad because Wes Craven was a treasure.
Well, what I do know is that Neve Campbell is in it.
Yes. All three are in it.
And one of them is going to die this time. They have to kill one of them this time. Okay. They can't have all three survive every single movie, because then at that point it would lose the excitement, the tension.
That's true.
One of them has to be killed off, and I'm thinking Dewey.
Okay, you think Dewey. All right. So I know Sam from 4 is the main target. Sydney's in it, but wait, Sam is the main target.
Which one's Sam?
Sam is the one from 4, one of the survivors from 4. I think your name is Sam. I might be wrong. Like I said, I'm not as familiar with 4.
Well, I know there's the deputy.
It might be it.
Sorry, I'm checking out the cast live on air. Not looking at the camera. the deputy is back. Marley Shelton is back.
Oh, I love Marley Shelton.
Sam Carpenter, Melissa Barrera. But I don't, who the hell was she in the other one, though?
Hmm. I'm not sure, but I know that Sydney is not the main character. So here are my predictions here.
She is not in any of the other Screams. The actress is not in it. So she's new.
So I might have got that wrong. Doesn't matter. We'll figure it out. Well, it's not even out yet. I could be wrong. But here's what I'm thinking. So, like, I think it's going to be one of the three main ones that's going to end up being the killer.
Oh, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Would they do that, though? I don't know.
Well, I've got... All right, let's go through all three of them. Let's start with Sydney. So, okay. Here's the... and I'm going to give you the kind of the thought processes for each one. So, okay. Here's why Sydney could be the killer. She's gone through this four times where she's been the target of fucking psycho people. How many people have died around her? Like,
oh, yeah.
An insane amount of people have died around her.
Yeah, and the fourth one, they say she's the angel of death.
Yeah, exactly. Like at what point are you, you're cursed, lady? Like, so she snaps. She comes back. Super simple. I'm not sure if that's the one, though. Could be. I could see Neve Campbell pulling off crazy. I love Neve Campbell. I've always loved Neve Campbell. She is... love her. All right. Gail always puts the story together. They've referenced it several times, I think in the first one and the second one, at least, where it was like, well, what if Gail's putting this together for the story? What if it's all part of a plot like that? So, you know, it's what, 10 years later, 25 years after the original run or whatever. She's a washed up former famous whatever. She's got to recreate some shit. She pulls everybody into it and it's all for ratings.
Okay.
But here's the one that I'm really subscribing to this one. I've got a couple reasons for it too. I think it's going to be Dewey.
Maybe, really?
I think it's going to be Dewey. I think what they're going to do is they're going to reveal that he was involved from the beginning.
Okay.
And that he is like the orchestrator and the ultimate mastermind, even over Roman. I've got several reasons why I'm thinking that. First one, pretty much. Okay. Was there a single one where he wasn't stabbed and then like
he's hurt in every single movie.
Yeah. So he's hurt in every single movie. Right. Which means that could have absolutely been planned. First of all, at one point, Wes Craven did float the idea that Dewey could be the killer at one point. So this being the first one without Wes Craven could be as kind of a little bit of a tribute to him. And the one other piece of like evidence I have is a little circumstantial, I'll admit, but it's something I picked up on. Did you notice in Scream 2, every time Dewey was on screen, the music that was playing?
I did not notice.
Okay. It's, dun, 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 dun. It's, okay. Now that same track, that same song was used in the movie Broken Arrow. You saw Broken Arrow, right?
No.
Oh, okay. Put that on your list. First of all, Broken Arrow fucking rules. It's okay. So Travolta was the bad guy. He was basically, there was like a big nuclear plot. He was like a military officer, stole nuclear weapons and was holding everybody hostage. And it's a phenomenal fucking movie. But every time he's on screen, that same piece played. Dun, 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 dun. So I've always kind of like associated that particular song. I've only heard it in those two movies. And it is like, it happens every now and then where there's like music that's like very kind of obvious that's like reused. It's probably just stock music, honestly, but it's always had a villainous association because of that for me. So I think it's going to be Dewey.
It'd be kind of interesting. The question is, how would the audience, you think, would react to it? Would they do that to the audience, you think?
I mean, it gets to a point where it's like, if you're going to keep doing a whodunit, you need to also like, okay, if everybody can die, everybody should also be a suspect. Randy said that in the first one. There's a formula to it. A very simple formula. Everybody's a suspect.
Yeah. That'd be awesome if they make it Dewey, because I never liked the character.
Really?
Never been a Dewey fan. Never been a big fan of Dewey. Yeah.
Interesting. He's also kind of too well at being a kind of a doofus.
There's no way in the world he'd be a sheriff in the fourth one because of his doofusness. Yes,
exactly. And in the second one, like he's all upset about the way it was written. Like page 47, Deputy Dewey oozed with inexperience. So like,
yeah.
if he's kind of like, and then he even like literally says, like, how do you know my charming boyish good nature isn't just a ruse to throw everybody off? He's leaving a trail through the entire fucking thing.
Okay. Like, that could be very interesting.
Yeah.
All right. I might buy that one.
Yeah.
You want to hear my theories?
I do.
My theory, the killer is going to be at least one of them, because I think they're going to do minimum two, but that's one of the killers.
Mm-hmm. I think Billy so too. Loomis. Yeah. It's going to be at least two. They're not going to do a single killer again.
Billy Loomis is going to have a son.
Interesting.
Because the movie takes place minimum 30 years after the original. The kid would be old enough to be a full grown adult. Hmm. Billy was minimum 18, could have definitely knocked one out, maybe with the mother. You don't know. But he would have a son. So this it's going to be a Billy Loomis child to continue the franchise.
Well, there's also, cause Billy Loomis was also very popular, like in school, like everybody, yeah. like he was. So, I mean, it's not unreasonable that he could have gotten around a little bit.
That's what I'm saying. Ooh, and you know Sydney what? Never put out. They said it many times. Sydney has not been putting out for a long time
until she came out. Now you got
to find it. But it was a year. So Billy Loomis was hanging in there for a year it's in true. High school.
That's true.
He fucked around on her. Especially if he's a psycho, I doubt he's also loyal.
I mean, yeah, that's you're absolutely right. Like it's not like he's capable of serial murder and he's also sneaky. So like yeah. it's not unreasonable. I don't hate that at all. Okay, I could see it. Plus, that kind of drops a little bit of a it's almost okay because they love throwing nods to old other horror movies. Like if you watch, like, you know, when Winkler comes out of the hallway, you know, he, like, sees the guy, he's dressed just like Freddy Krueger. He calls him Fred. There's a bunch of that. There's so much of that. Like, drive down to the McKenzies. That part was like, it's directly lifted from Halloween. Run down to the McKenzies. So doing that would kind of be a little bit of a nod to Friday the 13th, like kind of a reverse Friday the 13th. Like,
okay, I gotcha.
The son gotcha. Coming back to, or even the daughter coming back to yep. seek revenge.
That's what I'm thinking. I think it's going to be a child of Billy Loomis. That's my guess.
I could see that. Okay. Okay.
And my second guess, potentially, I don't think they'd do this.
Uh-huh.
A cult around the Billy Loomis murder.
Interesting. Murderer.
Because by then, I mean, considering how many killers there have been and how pop culture the movies are about, you know,
yeah,
and our love of these people.
Even in real life, I mean, like, it literally inspired real murders.
Right. I mean, there would be a cult of Billy Loomis by now. Billy Loomis would have his old cult, or at the very least, the director would have a cult surrounding them.
You know, they could absolutely do that because, like, you know, I feel like making reference to a real serial killer, they do that a lot, too. I mean, they make references to real killers. I don't know if you're familiar with Otis Toole and what's that fucking guy's name? Henry Lee Lucas?
No.
Okay, so you need to get up on your true crime. But so those two were, like, you know, a couple of killers, and like they were drifter killers. But like one of the stories they told, like, because they were actually notorious for, like, they think they lied about a lot of the shit they did. But one of the things they lied, or they alleged to have happened, was that they were involved in a murderous cult that ordered them to kill. That's not even completely unfeasible, because, like, then they're throwing some shit to real shit. It's a little bit of a deep cut shit, because it's not like everyday serial killer knowledge, right.
But it would connect to our worship of celebrity.
And
now you can have more than one killer, more than two killers. You can have a whole horde of killers that eventually have a showdown with the main characters at the end.
Yeah, and like it still fits with the narrative, because they could still run it as like, yeah, it's a cult, but like they're running it as like, this is like, I'm creating a living movie or some shit like that. Cause they all have their weird shit, you know, like Roman, it was all revenge, but he framed it as like, this is a production, you know? So I don't hate that at all.
So those are my two theories that I'll be wrong on, but on air, I am going with those two guesses.
All right, cool. Cool. I am sticking hard to Dewey Dunnett.
All right, Dewey. All right, so we should make like a friendly wager.
What's your wager?
All right, I'm trying to think of something that'd be good to do. I don't know. We got to work on this.
You know what?
We got to have decent.
Everybody
turns.
At home, if you're listening on YouTube, if you're watching on YouTube, leave in the comments wherever you listen, or shoot us an email, traversingthestars@gmail.com. Let us know what you guys think we should wager.
All right, and we'll pick one of them. As long as it's not murdering one of us in the same style, we will go for it, and we'll have to do it.
Well, I mean, like, that would suck, man, because, like, you know, I don't want to have to murder you, like, when I'm right.
Now, I don't, my problem is I don't think I could afford the train ticket to find you.
That's true. You
know, the budget takes to be a killer nowadays.
It's just insane. Like, it's not even worth it. Like,
but I will say this, the knife they used in the movies was fucking awesome. That's a fucking cool looking knife.
I always love that. And they always use the same one, too. I love signature weapons.
Yeah, it's a beautiful, like, it's kind of funny to, like, ogle the murder weapon. I was like, that's a beautiful piece. I mean, is that, like, almost silver handle? What is that?
No, wait, it's not weird at all. I actually literally have a Freddy Krueger glove over here, so, like, don't feel bad. Like it's just, nice. That's just what we do. All right, so I guess we'll see what happens with that. So we can only stay tuned and wait. So until then.
Yeah, the movie comes out in 10 days, sir.
10
from
days?
This recording.
From recording, so probably 8 or 9 days from the day this drops. We're dropping this a week before the movie comes out, so plenty of time to stew on our thoughts, plenty of time to form your own. Let us know what you guys think. Check us out, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Traversing the Stars. Check me out if you want more from me. I'm Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, all that shit. I'm at Dudist Weirdo.
All right, so find me on J House Interviews on Twitter. You can find me on Vector Comics on Twitter. You can find me on Malik Rains on Twitter.
You need to get, like, a central Twitter. I am so tired of putting, like, when I edit this shit, the at.
Look for my comic books, Santa Claus, on Horror Comic Book for Kids on Indie Planet. So find that. And find Nightmare Patrol on... Comixology, and Malik Rain, the Malik Raining Devil comic books, also on Indie Planet. So I don't know, go find me. I don't know, whatever.
you did leave a challenge in a recent episode. Did anybody find you on Facebook?
If they did, they never told me about it.
It's just somebody, like, at home, just like watching, just like, like, what's your favorite scary movie, Jeff?
Man, if I swear to God, if I get one of those phone calls after this interview, I'd be like, son of a bitch!
Dude, I'm not answering it. I'm just not fucking answering it.
Color ID.
Yeah.
JD.
Huh.
What is
this? Well, that wasn't me. All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. We love you all. So we will see you soon. Travel with us.
Indeed.